You know, hallelujah. You know, we are in a time of much attack. Amen? The attack of the voices, right? Praise God. The attack of emotions. The attack of lust, the attack of the past. The attack of guilt, condemnation. All of these attacks, we're hard-pressed on every side. But we have the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Shoo-wee. Yeah, snap. Everyone say suddenly. Woo! Suddenly. Glory. Thank you, Lord. How many of y'all know God wants to protect us in every area? That's why He brings counsel, correction, direction, doesn't He? Amen? Without counsel, correction, and direction, there is no leading to protection. And man, we need some protection right now. Because the enemy is, he knows that time is short. He knows what's up. Where you think you're strong, we ignore. That's where he comes. See, because you let down your guard where you think you're strong. Oh, I know that. That's good. Be ready. Boom. Let me tell you one of the great things that causes people in the arena to fall from the place of position. Of course, we know it's pride and so forth. But people falling from an area of a relationship to a religious state where they're living out of the head instead of the spirit. So they live out of knowledge instead of the spirit. Living out of the spirit is totally different than living out of the head. Because when you're living out of the spirit, you have dominion of every other thought. In fact, your thoughts, you don't even care about. You ignore them. Thoughts are irrelevant when you're living out of the Spirit. You're like a person with no head. You're headless. See, that's what happened to John the Baptist when Jesus showed up. First thing that happened when Jesus showed up after Jesus was baptized is John got put in prison. That means you need to put your old man in prison. The second thing is he got his head cut off. That means we need to cut off the head. King David cut off the head of the giant. Many of us have giants in our life. They're emotional attachments, things from our past, all kinds of stuff that need to get cut off. One of the things the Lord is bringing us to, because His desire, He loves us unconditionally. His desire is to keep us positioned in the area where we have victory in everything. Victory in that. There is no defeat. No such thing as defeat in the Spirit. You can't lose in the Spirit. Do you understand that? The only reason why we lose the battle is because we go back to living out of the mind. Instead of living out of the spirit. Because see, the battle is actually in the mind, isn't it? So if you're trying to battle the devil with your mind, you're going to lose. Amen. Remember when Goliath and David, which David was compared to a giant, he was a little twerp. Without the anointing, he couldn't even pick up the sword. And the giant, Goliath, came and threatened him with the sword and the spear and his height and how big he was. David didn't look at that because he wasn't living out of the head. He was living out of the spirit. If he was living out of the mind, he would have been afraid like crazy. In fact, he would have been, the only thing he would have seen was the bottom of his feet. He would have been running. Like everybody else that was hiding. They couldn't believe a dude that was out there taking care of sheep who had no experience in battle will go out there to defend Israel. But he wasn't defending Israel. He was standing up for the name of his God. See, he was willing to lose his life. But when you're willing to lose your life, you know what happens? It's saved. That's why David could not die from Goliath. And David said, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and your height, and your arrogance. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. In other words, all of heaven was behind David. So he picked up the stone, which is known as the word. He swung it. Where did he hit Goliath? Not in the butt. Not any other where else. Where'd he hit him? In the mind. And he put him down. Then he went over and picked up his sword and cut his head off. Most likely nobody else had the strength enough to pick up the sword. See, we've got to live out of the spirit, not out of the mind. Because you can't beat spiritual things out of the mind, you beat them in the spirit. And I believe right now that there is a not only a counsel, correction, and direction to bring protection so that we can be positioned, but there's what we call divine chastening. Divine chastening. Would you turn to Romans 6, please? Hallelujah. Romans 6. Divine chastening. In verse 1 it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Should we continue in the presence of evil? Because that's what sin represents. That grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Does everybody see it? He said in it, meaning in the presence of evil. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of light, that may, of life, meaning living out of the spirit, not out of the mind. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of the presence of evil or sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You and I who have died to self are free from the presence of, in other words, being free from the presence of evil means you have dominion over it. Because you're not living out of the mind, you're living out of the spirit. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. He lives to God. Remember I shared last time, Jesus did not come. We know that, this may sound very strange, he did not come to save me and you. He did not come to save the world. He did not come to remove sin. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. It was the Father's will to remove sin, to rescue me and you. Does everybody understand that? To save the world. It was the Father's will. Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father. That's it. And so you and I are to continue to fulfill the will of the Father, just like Jesus did. That's why he had to die to himself. Never said anything else. That's all he kept saying. I've come to fulfill the will of the Father. That's all he said. I come to fulfill the... When he prayed, what did he say? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, your will. We don't hear that too much, do we? Oh, Jesus came to save me. No, he came to fulfill the will of the Father, which was to save me and you. Is everybody all right? Verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin or the presence of evil reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its what? Lust. Because where there's the presence of evil, there's lust. Always. Where there's the presence of evil, there's lust. So if you're lusting, evil's there. Everybody got it? If you're lusting, evil is there. Verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin, read 14 with me. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, you're not under the law of sin, but you're under the plan of God if you're fulfilling it. Is everybody with me? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. He says, let no sin, the presence of evil, reign in your members. Amen. Nor obey its lusts. Again, we are not under the law of sin or under the death. We are under the law of life. But what you serve is what you are a slave to. So when the presence of evil has dominion, it doesn't mean that the presence of evil won't come. It says that you're to have dominion over it. If you don't have dominion over it, it has dominion over you. Is everybody okay? Go to chapter 7 in verse 15. Let's read it together. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. Sin that dwells, the presence of evil. Do you know your old man is the presence of evil? But it's supposed to be crucified, isn't it? And the only way it's crucified is if you're living out of the Spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit have crucified their flesh. Does everybody get this? So we've got to come to the arena where we're stopped living out of the mind, but living out of the Spirit. So we should be headless. It's no longer what you think, what you feel. It's no longer offense, because see, the mind looks for offense. It looks for an excuse to run from God. It looks for an excuse to do evil. It looks for everything. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, which is a representation of the old man, nothing good dwells. Nothing good dwells in your flesh and your old man. Why? Because it's the presence of evil. It is actually the offspring of Satan. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. In other words, the presence of evil that I'm allowing have dominion over me. Why? Because I'm not living out of the Spirit, I'm living out of the mind. And the enemy will beat you every time if you live out of your mind. You cannot defeat him. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Sometimes I want to say to people, get out of your mind! Huh? There's a gazillion voices coming to the mind. You don't have to answer them all. Come out of your mind. Take my sock off and stick it in her mouth. Verse 23, but I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. What? Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through the anointing, the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty that breaks every yoke of bondage, that allows you to live out of the Spirit, to crucify your flesh, no longer living out of the mind. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we see here that there's the law of God and the law of sin, but it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And the only way to maintain the anointing is through worship. You know what happens when we lack worship? We live out of the mind again. And then people become miserable, oppressed, discouraged, offended. One of the things living out of the mind is you look at everybody else's garbage instead of your own. You blame everyone else for your garbage. You want to understand everything. And God ain't going to allow you to. Why? Because it's not a relationship based on understanding. It's a relationship based on trust. It's a trust factor. Why? Because you must live out of the Spirit, not the mind. God does not fellowship with the old man. That's why he says, get behind me. That's what I told Peter. Why? Because the old man spoke through him. He called him Satan. He said, get behind me. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do first. Why? because he was about the Father's business. We're to be about the Father's business. Living out of the Spirit, not out of the mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. In verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one beats the air. See, when you've tried to battle out of the mind, you beat the air. Because you're not making what is unseen to become seen. But I what? I discipline my body. And bring it into what? Subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become what? Disqualified. In this, he's saying I discipline. I bring under submission to the obedience of Christ's character and will. And it can only be done in the Spirit, not in the mind. That's why it says, cast down all thoughts and imaginations, right? That come against the knowledge of God. And take them captive to the obedience of Christ. It's the same thing he's saying here. Come out of your mind. Come out of your thoughts. And get in the Spirit. And live out of the Spirit instead of your mind. So we need to be disciplined. Amen? Discipline. Discipline is not living out of the mind. In fact, discipline is the arena which overcomes the mind. That's why the Spirit sets a specific routine, something for you to do to continually combat. So that it's no longer living out of the mind, you're living out of the Spirit. So no matter what comes, no matter what's going on, you are disciplined to continue the course. No matter what. You're not looking for any emotional comfort. You're not looking for opinion of man. You're waiting on God. Because he's your only source. Everything else is a resource. See, it's when people begin to exchange resources for source. It's living out of the mind. Proverbs 15. In verse 7. Start at verse 6. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Verse 10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will what? Will die. This harsh discipline is known as chastening. Sometimes God has to be a little bit harsher with us because he's trying to rescue our life. So he disciplines us. But there's something I got to share with you. Would you go to Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. And we've heard this before. In verse 7, Galatians 6, 7. Is everybody there? It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he also will reap." Amen? "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Very important. Here's the comparison. When God chasing you, it's inward. When you sow and reap corruption, that opens the door for the devil to come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's outward. When God chastens you, it's a sorrow where you want to ask for forgiveness. You repent. And sometimes you repent for days. Sometimes for weeks. Because he's chastening you. In other words, you get to a point where your heart is broke. And you just want to do whatever he asks you to do. And there's times when there's something that we did and we didn't fulfill it. Sometimes he'll return it and sometimes he won't. It will never come back again. But that's up to him. But the chastening from the Lord is inside. It's a pain. It's a groaning. It is inside, not outward. It's not mind. It's a pain in the spirit that is grieved. You sense a grieving pain in the spirit. You know God is chastening you. It's not an area of guilt or condemnation. It's an area where he says, "I love you." But that chastening is painful because you know you hurt him. Now you may say, how can God be hurt? See, but so many people reject the chastening of the Lord. And when you reject the chastening of the Lord, judgment comes. He steps back and allows the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. For a period of time until you come to a place of true repentance. See, it's beyond conviction. Okay, we get convicted, but then there's chastening. So we're repented, but there's that chastening, there's that grieving within me and you that says, "Oh my God, I can't believe I did this. I am so sorry. I am so sorry that you weep and it doesn't leave you for days. And sometimes weeks. And you'll be driving and all of a sudden it will come. Lord, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that." And you find yourself repenting over and over and over. Because it is the chasing in the Lord. Now, so many people think it's the devil. No. See, the devil attacks outwardly and through the mind. God chastens inwardly in the spirit. It's different. It's not a guilt. It's not a condemnation. It's no longer a conviction. It's a pain of sorrow. That you know that you hurt him. And you don't want to do that. And we don't want to do it again. Because it's a love affair. See, many people have never even experienced that. The only thing they've ever experienced was the sowing and reaping with the attack of the enemy. Because they've rejected God's chastening. Or they've taken it for granted. Oh, well, you know, God forgives me. That's a hardened heart. Yes, He forgives you. But you should be thinking about it. About what we've done. If you just throw it away and don't think about it again. Yes, God forgives us. I know He forgives me. But man, let me tell you that it's still there. It's still there. It's grieving to me. Why? Because I grieved Him. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, you can sense that in you. It's inward, not outward. Is everybody okay? In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe there's a divine chastening going on right now in big time. And there are people who are accepting it and there are people that are rejecting it. And when you're rejecting it, you're going to find judgment come. And God's going to allow the devil to come and steal, kill, and destroy until true repentance is manifested. What's He trying to do? He's trying to get us in protection, isn't He? Amen. You know, there's something about... I'm not going to go there. Eli was a prophet. He had two sons that were fornicating. And he just allowed it. And God stopped speaking through Eli because he was a prophet. He just quiet. No more word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was very rare because Eli was not doing anything about his children. He just, oh, no problem. Go ahead. And the Ark of the Covenant was in the hands of Israel at that time. And the Lord spoke through Samuel as a child, woke him up and said, go tell Eli, you're about to lose it all because you refuse to correct your children. Eli ignored the command of the Lord. They got attacked. His sons were killed. The Ark of the Covenant was taken. And Eli was killed. In fact, he fell off of whatever and broke his neck. Because he refused to correct his children. Does everybody understand this? See, when you see things that are not right, don't pet it. Don't compromise it, because then you approve it. And that's how God looks at us. He's going to chasten us. We are His children. He's going to correct us in hope that we don't do it again. Hebrews 12, start at verse 3. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Go ahead, read it with me. For you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have not forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He what? Chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. See, many people think God is punishing them. No, the devil punishes. God chastens. See, the world punishes. In fact, if you think that you're innocent until proven guilty, that's a lie. You are guilty till proven innocent in the world. Verse 7, read it with me. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not his children. So you can expect chastening. You can expect that grieving in your spirit when you've offended the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit was also grieved too. And you will sense his grief. And the chastening will come. Again, it's an inward, not an outward. And if you're rejecting it and you're not receiving it, then you can expect the enemy to come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Verse 9. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and what? And live. For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be what? Partakers of his what? Holiness. Partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness. To those who have been trained by it, to those who've accepted it. See, you're willing to accept the chastening of the Lord. In fact, you look for it sometimes. Because you want to stay on the right path. Just like you look for conviction. If you catch a conviction, you won't be chastened. If you miss the conviction, you can expect chastening. If you miss the chastening, you can expect judgment. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 6. Remember, God doesn't punish, he chastens. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 12. Proverbs 6, verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a what? Perverse mouth. Let me share something with you. A person that examines their works and not their tongue is deceived. I'm going to share that. A person that's examining their works but not their tongue is deceived. And that's the presence of evil. Because the presence of evil brings what? Deception. He winks with his eyes and shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord, division, strife, rebellion. Therefore, his calamity shall come when? Suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, even seven is an abomination to him. A what? Proud. Look, what he hates, you can expect chastening. Proud. A prideful individual. You can expect chastening. Why? He's going to humble you. If you reject the chastening, you can expect judgment. You can expect to lose everything. A lying tongue. God hates lying. You can expect chastening. You reject chastening, you can expect judgment. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Let me share with you. People don't even realize wicked plans. So many people think wicked plans are, oh my gosh, I'm going to go kill somebody. No, a wicked plan is manipulation of someone. A wicked plan is manipulation, using people. That's wickedness. And God hates it. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among what? Brethren. A gossiper. He hates it. He calls them mudslingers. And he chastens them. And when they reject chastening, judgment. Is everybody okay? So, why is he chastening us? To bring us to a place of discipline. So that we are disciplined. We are consistent. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, it's amazing how many people examine the works and not their tongue. Knowing, not even realizing that they're sowing discord. Let me share with you one of the things that the Lord really hates. In fact, he says it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck. Cause a stumbling block to a baby by what you say. A young believer. Things that you say with a young believer, he hates. You can expect chastening. And maybe a few other things. Many times he'll turn what he blessed you with into a curse. Now it becomes a curse, not a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 4. He says it'd be better for you to have a millstone around your neck. In other words, it's better be for you to be dead. Be careful what you say around young children, young believers. You don't have dominion over your tongue. Demons got dominion over you. That's nothing but the presence of evil. And pride is the presence of evil. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is the trial that's called chastening. God chastens us through fiery trials also. As though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a what? Murderer, thief, evildoer, gossiper, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, Christ-like, let him not be ashamed, but let him be glorified. Glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for what? Judgment to begin where? At the house of God. So you can expect conviction and chastening and judgment. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, many people suffer because of what they're sowing in the flesh, and they're reaping. It isn't because they're suffering according to the will of God. Of course, then they always, I'm suffering for God's will. No, you're suffering because you sowed in the flesh, Holmes. Because you opened your stinking mouth. Because you said something in front of a young one that you shouldn't have. Because you touched something unclean. Because you're a slanderer or a gossiper. Because you're in other people's business. Because you're examining your own works and not your tongue. And you're too busy looking at everybody else's garbage instead of your own. Hallelujah. If the righteous are scarcely saved, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a faithful creator. Yes, he will try you, chasten you, correct you, and he'll expose you. And he'll what? Expose you. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 7. Hebrews 3:7. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you'll hear his voice, today if you'll hear his voice, today if you'll hear his voice, today if you'll hear his counsel, correction, and direction, if you'll receive his chastening, do not harden your hearts as in what? Rebellion. God hates rebellion. In a day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray where? In their hearts. They have not known my ways, so I swore my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of the presence of evil or sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, everyone say if. If what? We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you'll hear his voice and do not harden your hearts in rebellion. For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's speak this together in verse 1. Is everybody there? Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk in what? And please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Your what? Sanctification. That means separated. Come out from among them. Your sanctification. That you should what? Abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Why? Because then chastening will come. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is separation. Separation from what? Worldly ways. Worldly ways. Why? Because the world is known as the house of bondage. James 4. In verse 1, let's read it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So you think God is going to chasten you for becoming worldly-like? Amen. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You want to be an enemy of God? Make yourself a friend of the world. Go ahead, live like them, act like them, speak like them, lust like them, approve what they approve, and you become his enemy. He'll chasten you. He'll convict you first, chasten you second, then he'll bring judgment. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Why? That's going to come with what? Chastening. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Because of what? Chastening. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So chastening will come because he's trying to humble us. What does it say? Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges a brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a what? Judge. And there's only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Now we're fruit inspectors. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Is everybody okay? Verse 1, let's speak it. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is what? Safe. Beware of what? Dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. In other words, we live out of the spirit, not out of the mind. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh or the mind. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it or I am already perfected, but I what? I press on, that I may lay hold that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. Let me share with you something important. You will be chastened when you begin to go to your past. We do not go backwards. We go forward. Let me tell you again. The phone is your enemy. I can't tell you how many people have opened the door to the devil by the phone. They get the phone, you know what the first thing they want to do? Because they're living out of the mind, not out of the spirit. They start contacting people from the past. Oh. You just opened the door to the devil. And you can expect chastening. Because God does not tell you to go to the past. He tells you to go to the future. that's living out of the mind and not out of the spirit. Because you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to convince and comfort your mind. Does everybody get this? He just said, I do what? I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. Get out of your past. If you're in the past, you're in your mind and you're not living out of the spirit. And you can expect chastening. You reject it. You can expect recycling. What? You will go right back in that cycle again and lose everything all over. Anybody want to go back to where you started from? Well, then go to your past. And you will. 100% guarantee. Verse 14. I what? Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, or get this, have this mind. And if indeed anything you think otherwise, God will what? Reveal even this to you. How's he going to reveal it? Chastening. Get out of your past. Get out of your mind. Get in the spirit. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. And let us be of the what? Same mind. Can you imagine if we were all get out of our past and out of our mind and get into the spirit and go into the future, things would be different. We'd be like-minded, like-hearted, like-willed. There would be no division between us. The only reason why division comes is when a person lives out of the mind and goes to the past. And then bam, all everything starts over again. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52. So think God will chasten you because of associations? You betcha. The phone and flesh book, or what's it? Facebook, one or the other, same thing. Danger. People place their opinions and their feelings on there. Oh, sick. It's sickening. That's all I see is people's pictures on there. I want to put the Buster sign on it. Oh, get your face off of Facebook. People posing and all kinds of stuff. Who cares, man? Live your life. Get a life and get it off of Facebook. Isaiah 52, verses 11 and 12. What does it say? Depart, depart from what? Facebook. Crush your phone. Get out of the past. Get out of your mind and get into the future. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. You know how many people touch unclean things through the phone? It's incredible. Gossip. That's all it is. It's a bunch of gossip through that. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste. That means anxiousness. God will chasten you for becoming anxious also. Nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel be your rear guard. If you're in position. If you're not, you're on your own. Hallelujah. Touching unclean things, you can expect chastening. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Yes, technology is definitely controlling people. God warned us. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, humble yourselves, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be what? Be sober. That means alert and detailed. Let me tell you, God will chasten you for not being detailed. Because when if he's got to constantly repeat himself and the same thing over and over, you'll be chastened. You can expect that chastening within. Be sober, be alert, be detailed, be vigilant. That means consistent, disciplined. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, if you're not detailed, the enemy comes through cracks. If you can't be detailed in your life, you're not going to see everything that the devil's doing. You're going to miss him. Amen? It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And I'm going to close at Revelation 3. Chastening. Oh, hallelujah. Divine chastening, Revelation chapter 3. Do you know God will chasten you for being lukewarm? Hallelujah. In verse 14, an angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Hello. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, with eye salve, that you may what? See. In other words, in this also, without being detailed, you can't be in divine order. Because being detailed and seeing always keeps us in an order. It always keeps in order. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Hello. Therefore, be what? Zealous, on fire, hot, and what? Repent. Turn away. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and be with him. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So we can't live out of the mind. You'll lose. We live out of the Spirit. That's the beauty. If we live out of the mind, we live in the past. We live out of the Spirit, we live out of the future. Amen? We want to be detailed. We want to be ready in season and out. We want to be sensitive. And we want to be blessed. But God doesn't bless disobedience. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I thank you for conviction. I thank you for chastening. And I pray each and every one of us that is being chastened here tonight would turn. Receive the chastening. receive the correction so that we may get back in position, be protected, learn from our mistakes, that we may go forward and be well-pleasing to you and bring you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.